When I was thinking about Pentecost a while back and thinking, which direction do I want to go? It was pretty evident that the more I read on Facebook, and the more stuff that friends of mine would send me by email, and the more conversations I had about the church, the more frustrated I became. Then I thought of a youth camp a long time ago. And what prompted me to think about it was the minister of youth at Trinity Church in Atlanta is now studying to become a minister. And he was one of the youngsters that I had at that camp, Creek. Anyway, I thought, And I remember one time we were talking, what's the church going to be like in the future? And at that time, my youthful exuberance was, it's going to be fantastic, naturally because of my humble preaching. I told you I've always been proud of my humility, and I think that's important. But anyhow, I told a story to the kids that was in our study. And it was Ezekiel, and we're talking about the Valley of the Dry Bones. How many of you remember that scripture? The Valley of the Dry Bones. Yeah, it's a good story. And it's a story that applies itself to almost any generation of people in churches. Because he's talking about not just skeletons laying around on the ground. He's talking about people like us. Dry bones, where people sort of dry out spiritually and they need to be revised and pumped up and revitalized. And he said it can happen because of God's Spirit. Now, remember two things about the Old Testament. They're basically stories to excite and scare people about the power of God. But they're also, in another instance, stories that are supposed to motivate you, the person hearing them. That's the good thing about storytelling. You're supposed to want to motivate people to become better than they really are. Or certainly far more excited about faith that they never had before. Now, that's the story of the dry bones. And I thought about that, and I wondered, and I didn't speak to John or ask him, did any of these things have a motivation for you these many years later that would prompt you to want to go into the ministry? And I probably will have to phone call that young man and find out. I'm curious. Where we're looking now is the birth of the church, where the Holy Spirit came and touched and invigorated. The stories were told in the old, okay? But by the time we come to the book of Acts, to this first part of Acts, we're trying to figure out how did faith evolve from God only through Christ, and now something greater than Christ is going to be with you. Jesus said it. Something greater is going to be with you. Open your Bibles. Acts is a wonderful, wonderful story in our history of the church. The second chapter, the first 21 verses. When the day of Pentecost came, they were all together in one place. Suddenly a sound like the blowing of a violent wind came from heaven and filled the whole house where they were sitting. They saw what seemed to be tongues of fire that separated and came to rest on each of them. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit enabled them. Now, there were staying in Jerusalem God-fearing Jews from every nation under heaven. When they heard this sound, a crowd came together in bewilderment because each one heard them speaking in his own language. Utterly amazed, they asked, "Are not all these men who were speaking Galileans? And how is it that each of us hears them in his own native language? Parthians, Medes, Elamites, residents of Mesopotamia, Judea, Cappadocia, Pontus, Asia, Phrygia, Pamphylia, Egypt, and parts of Libya near Cyrene, visitors from Rome, both Jews, and converts to Judaism, Cretans, Arabs, we hear them declaring the wonders of God in our own tongues." Amazed and perplexed, they ask one another, "What does this mean?" Some, however, made fun of them and said, "They've had too much wine." Then Peter stood up with the 11, raised his voice, and addressed the crowd. "Fellow Jews, and all of you who live in Jerusalem, let me explain this to you. Listen carefully to what I say. These men are not drunk as you suppose. It's only 9 in the morning. Now, this was spoken by the prophet Joel. In the last days, God says, I will pour out my spirit on all people. Your sons and daughters will prophesy. Your young men will see visions. Your old men will dream dreams. Even on my servants, both men and women, I will pour out my spirit in those days, and they will prophesy. I will show wonders in the heaven above and signs on the earth below, blood and fire and billows of smoke. The sun will be turned to darkness, the moon to blood before the coming of the great and glorious day of the Lord. And everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved." Great story. Ray Thompson and I were talking earlier, and I agreed. He said, "What would we do if it happened this morning in this church?" He said, and I agreed with him, "Yes, indeed, we would be scared to death, wouldn't we? We'd be petrified. But you know, we Christians in the 21st century can sometimes feel like, well, it's not as good as it used to be." And we all say it, don't we? "I remember when we," and we make it nice. And I like to think that when we talk this way, it's like a fish story. It's bigger every time we tell it. And boy, I caught a fish that big. The world changes. The world changes rapidly, and sometimes we feel like we're living in a foreign land, don't we? I've heard it said by friends of mine, "Well, I wish the church was the way it used to be." The church is no longer a community influence. It's not like it was when I was younger. It's not like it was when I remember a long time ago. I feel it's a good thing today is Pentecost Sunday, because today's lesson reminds us of the Holy Spirit being gifted to the church and of the differences this makes to life and work and faith. In a way, when I read this story, the rush of a mighty wind and tongues of fire and many languages is very similar in scope to Ezekiel's story of the dry bones. It really is. But also note how Peter shouted through the noise, reminding them of another prophet, Joel, who, like Ezekiel, had visions of how the world was going to change and improve, hopefully, with faith. And Peter reminded them of God's powerful Spirit. Remember, through the Old Testament, all of the prophets were working at best to improve the quality of faith in a troubled world. They were trying to get through to people by telling them this and this and this, and hoping that they would listen, and hoping that, yes, they would improve the world. They would transform a troubled creation. Pentecost is nothing but the story of a transformation of people from an old way of thinking to a new way of thinking. That it's all the one Word of God, regardless of language, regardless of character, regardless of skin color, regardless of background, regardless of who you are, the Word of God and the power of the Holy Spirit is the same thing. You know, it's interesting to note, in my reading, American Indians, tribe after tribe, believed in the power beyond themselves, a Holy Spirit, the Great Spirit. And in every native tongue, it was the word for the Holy Spirit that we use. The Indians did, which was probably why it was so easy for our early missionaries in this country to bring Indians into the fold of Christianity. It wasn't foreign talk that they were talking about, because they believed in the one Spirit, the one greater God. It was much easier, you see. And how did they do, and how did they change, and how did they become whatever they were? Well, you know, every single tribe had a hut that you could go to and sweat. It was like a sauna. And for those of you experienced it, you know, you just burn up. And the Indians did this because they believed it was taking all of the bad stuff out so that you could put the new stuff in when you were done in that hut. You clean up yourself. You clean up your whole being. And so when you come outside, you're a whole new person. Even though you're the same one, you've been completely changed because of the heat. The witness of Scripture ought to be this changing for us. The witness of what we read about in terms of Pentecost shows a variety of spiritual practices that is God's Spirit all in all, offering vision and dreams to live by and the hope of experience of a new flesh, a new mind. A new attitude. It's like Ezekiel's story. It's that wind breath that created life out of dry bones. It's like Joel talking about, don't worry about it. Here's what's here. Because if you accept Christ, you are a new person. You should be a new person in every way, shape, or form. It's that experience that maybe is the missing ingredient in our churches today. We've made our God too small. We've squeezed Him down into a form that we can manipulate and manipulate one another and manipulate people to the point where they can't see the freshness, the happiness, and the joy that really is Jesus Christ. Thank you. In Jesus Christ, and by the power of the Holy Spirit, God makes us and all people new if we let it. When I said that I got tired of reading on Facebook, noted clergy, making God about this size because they want to control people. They don't want to expose people to the great Word of God and the Spirit. That Holy Spirit. You know, that Holy Spirit can be unleashed when we take bread and the cup and we celebrate Christ. Jesus said, look, after I'm gone, there's going to be a power greater than me that's going to be with you. He didn't add, which I wish He had, and that's going to promote you to project me wherever you are. That power. Now, Pentecost. And again, we're at the table of our Lord. Would the elders join me, please? And I love that we have the cross to remind us. That the brokenness of Christ is the fulfillment of all that was promised, and the power of the Holy Spirit is what Christ gave us. Loving God, our Father, we ask Your blessing now at the foot of our Lord, that You would indeed bless this bread and this cup, setting it apart from common to sacred, for the glory that is not ours, but Yours in Christ. Amen.